by connecting people who need jobs and companies who need people. ZipRecruiter is working with all of us so we can keep moving forward. See it come together. ZipRecruiter.com/work together.
As well as the violence ordered against peaceful protesters demanding change near the White House. Boyd's brother told the commission today, quote, "The way you saw my brother tortured and murdered on camera is the way black people are treated by police in America." Today, we could learn whether the two Atlanta police officers involved in the shooting death of Rashard Brooks will be charged. Prosecutor Paul Howard has said charges could be filed against not just the officer who fired the fatal shots, but the other officer on the call as well. Morgan correspondent Diane Gallagher in Atlanta.
If there are charges that are brought against the officers, you can expect a lot of discussion around the taser that Mr. Brooks had in his hands. We've spoken with the police union. They believe that even the discussion of charges right now is premature because they say that due process has not been given to the former officer and Officer Brosnan at this point. And they've told us that they do plan to make that taser a point of contention.
Republican senators have unveiled a plan for police reform that ties federal funding to local police department reforms. South Carolina's Tim Scott.
Have a real conversation with America about the importance of police reform, accountability, and transparency. And that's exactly what the Justice Act focuses on.
Scott says the GOP and Democrats agree on about 70% of the issues involving police reform. Quaker Oats says it is ending its Aunt Jemima labels on pancake and syrup products. The company says the name is based on racial stereotypes and that it hopes the change contributes to racial equality in the United States. On Wall Street, a mixed market, the Dow down a few while the S&P up a few. I'm Mike Moss.
I have two dogs, Sam and Bailey. Both are golden retrievers. Poor Sam, he was a mess. Always itching, his paws were soaking wet all day from just constant licking. He had bald spots on his back. I just don't like putting shots and steroids into your dog all the time.
DinoVite.com.
DinoVite is nutrition. Probably 2 weeks after he started DinoVite, I started seeing great improvements, and today 99% of his issues are non-existent. It's amazing stuff. Since Bailey has been 12 weeks old, he's been a DinoVite dog, and he has zero issues today. He won't eat his food without DinoVite. When I get out the DinoVite, my dog actually salivates, like I'm getting them a treat. They drool over it. DinoVite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my DinoVite from DinoVite.com.
That's just kind of how symbolically you got to move the needle by having everyone at the table talking.
And it's a good point. Joanne Osborne, Sina Kerr, come down from up in Maricopa County. They see the importance.
Right.
So we've got the Republicans, the Democrats, all the people that are in office come down and are part of that because it's very effective.
You're exactly right. And Howard, from your vantage point, you've been director, founder of the Freedom Library for as long as I've known you.
24 years.
Right. And so the perspectives that you bring to the table as far as government intervention is just, it really brings a spirited part of this discussion. We really don't want government in business because it's not their place.
True. And, you know, like Paul was saying, what the chamber does, I think, is very, very significant in the sense that we have an open line of communication. It is imperative that the chamber transmit to our legislative body, whether it be city, county, state, federal, it doesn't matter, the importance and the significance of keeping government at bay and not interfering with people's lives. It's very significant that gets communicated so that they don't pass law after law after law after law, which is what they do, unfortunately.
Yep.
And as a result, we have a lot of intervention. It's hard for people to operate. I mean, look what's going on right now with all the intervention. It's practically impossible to operate a business today.
One chamber member who owns a restaurant, he is spending 3 hours per day just processing unemployment paperwork. Now, just think about that, okay? So he's not able to operate his business. You know, think about how to improve his business, how to maybe drive profit margins equitably with right price points and promotions, but he's pushing paper around. And that really impedes his ability to turn a profit and hire more people and improve the economy long term.
Well, not only that, the restrictions that are involved with not only restaurants but other businesses that limits the number of customers they get there. This is the kind of activity that goes on in countries that are totally government regulated, not in a free society. And that's why, you know, America was created to allow the individual to be free. And there's nothing like being free. Yeah. By being free, you are responsible for your actions.
Correct.
And so you might have to be accountable for that. But it's so much better than being enslaved. And I don't understand how businesses are making any money. I mean, their profit margins have got to be very narrow.
Very razor thin.
Or negative.
Yeah.
Or negative.
I've been a small business owner, and I know one thing I think is as they add all these regulations and whatever, people just think, oh, the HR department will take care of that, or the legal department will take care of that. Well, when you're a small business, that's you. And you're up at 3 in the morning doing your work. You're up till 9 at night making sale calls, and then you start doing all the stuff to comply with federal regulations. Yeah. And it makes it tough. I my hat is off to people who run businesses these days.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
If I'm an independent business, I'm an entrepreneur, and I have 3 or 4 employees, as the owner, I mean, I am the HR department, okay? I am the compliance department. Some of our banks, when Terry Freeland and some of my friends, the banking, will talk about the numbers of people they have to employ full time just for compliance. They're not processing loans. They're not helping businesses. They're not marketing their organization. They're just pushing paper to comply with regulations at state and federal level. It borders on insidious. It truly does. So that's when we come to action. Both of you have been on the Arizona Chamber Executives Friday legislative calls, and to have the state of Arizona last year in the bin was almost 1,400 bills. 1,400 bills. And some of them are just ludicrous, and some you never see the light of day, but still the thought that we just want to add laws on top of laws on top of laws does not help the common good. It just doesn't.
Yeah, and this is why I say I don't understand why businesses just capitulate and just do what they're told to do. You know, why we seek out government advice on anything, I'll never know. Just open up your business and let people come in and quit with this social distancing and that kind of thing. I mean, do it yourself. We have become so dependent. We've lost our independence in this country, and we're going to be celebrating our glorious day, our Independence Day, very shortly. And we aren't independent anymore. We are totally dependent upon our government. I mean, look what's going on. We look to them for answers. Why? We need to be looking to ourselves for answers. Figure this stuff out for yourself. Each one of us has a different issue that we're facing.
Back in civics class, I mean, I'm dating myself because it was like the last century and beyond, but we were taught way back then, with freedom comes responsibility. And that was drilled into us for a couple of semesters. Well, the freedoms that you obtain have this many responsibilities, and there's a corresponding act and react to that. In Legislative Affairs Committee, we talk about those things where I was really pleased with the first result of Legislative Affairs Committee that we were complaining, and you're now helping with broadband in South County and our agriculture, our farm partners. We're paying for 4G, we're paying for this broadband, but not getting it because the cell company is saying, well, each tower has to help X numbers of phones or it's not, you know, cost effective for us. Well, that's not my problem. Okay, if I'm in the field and I'm GPS driven, I'm paying for the service, not getting it, I can't perform. So we went to the Corporation Commission, we started banging the drum, and we moved the needle. And I got to watch this in action, where in this case, government had to intercede with business because, again, they weren't offering what they weren't delivering what they were offering. We're going to give you this, but we're not going to give it to you because it's not cost effective. So we had to bust through that, and it worked. But again, we didn't have to pound the podium. We didn't have to scream and yell. We just had to have great conversations about you need to do your job and make sure that these companies are delivering what they're promising to deliver.
So one thing that's especially good in Arizona, I think, is access to government. It's there. We've got access to our elected officials. We need to take advantage of that. And one way is through the chamber and through the Legislative Affairs Committee. We gather that voice of business and bring those issues, and our legislators listen.
And the other thing, we really, I think, have moved the needle that there's 13 other counties in Arizona other than Maricopa and Pima. And there's great things happening in rural Arizona. Yep. I mean, we're smart, we're sharp, we're at the table. Now, we're distant from Phoenix, but we're at the table. There's lots of people in Yuma County that are on state boards, state commissions, and the like, so that we really have an improved reputation at the state capitol. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. We talked yesterday at our board meeting, this CARES Act 4.0, this chamber executive director is writing letters to our senators, please don't pass this next round of funding. It's our national debt is greater than our GDP, so we have no real net worth in this country. Mm-hmm. So if this will extend unemployment to January of 2021, that's not what businesses want. Businesses want to get people back to work and move the needle intelligently, safely, and appropriately back to being responsible. My business is going to be responsible. But
talk about the survey, John, that we did.
We did a COVID-19 survey. This was about a month ago now, and we went out to the chamber members, about 1,500 emails, and we got almost 200 responses back. So that kind of a response was very good, you know, from a statistical point of view. What's the one thing you need most to open your business back up? We gave them 7 choices of what they might need. The number one thing across the board, it, by far and away, getting people back to work and getting them, you know, retrained for the new normal. So again, getting them off the couch, getting them, you know, back into the routine of showing up and helping, you know, customers, clients, and suppliers. The very last thing that they wanted, okay, was more cash from the federal government. Businesses know what they're doing. You know, they know their profit and loss. They know their marketplace. They know their significant competitive advantage. And let them go do that. Back to Howard's point. Get out of the way. Let them go back to work. And so that was fascinating to me, is that they know the issues and they know what they need. Just please let us do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fascinating to me across the board. Get people back to work. Yeah. Because there's a fulfillment to my day. Yeah. When I was working from home through the COVID-19, I was ineffective. I was in the refrigerator every 30 minutes. I didn't have my work stuff. I probably was about 50% productive working from home because it's not the right environment for it. Mm-hmm. Some people can do it, or they say they can do it. I'm not on that list. I have to have the environment because your mindset is there. I'm ready to go to work. Ready to make a difference. Ready to assist business.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's new opportunities too for business now. You know, if we're going into a new normal, there's new things that people need, and they're different than what they needed before. So you need business to be able to respond. You know, one of the favorite things I've seen in this whole pandemic, when I try to think about what's it going to change and what can we do different, and maybe it's wishful thinking to think this would happen, but it's flexibility. We've seen that we can be flexible in ways, if we're allowed, the flexibility to be creative. And just as an example, I'm sure it was more complicated than this, but apparently on a Thursday, Ford Motor Company got a call from somebody at the Mayo Clinic saying, you know, we foresee a big shortfall of PPE equipment. We need face masks. On Friday, they had designed one and made some plans. On Saturday, they had approval from all the bureaucracy at Ford and from FDA that this meets muster. On Sunday, they designated the factory and got people to volunteer to work at it. On Monday, they had product delivered, and on Tuesday, they had face masks cranking out. Now, they wouldn't have even had the first conference call by Tuesday.
Right. And government doesn't work that fast. Right. I got to go to a hard break. I want to talk about that more, if that's okay. You're listening to Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU.
When hunger hits, take 95 North out of Yuma to the Dirty South Barbecue House. Lunch, dinner, or even a snack at Dirty South Barbecue House, their racks and butts will drive everyone nuts. It's where everybody cleans their plate.
Hey, y'all, this is Angela from Dirty South Barbecue House. I always got that slow-smoked pork and beef, and you can't go wrong with some good Southern-style barbecue. We always try to make y'all happy, and we want y'all to come back to enjoy some sunsets and some good old music. So I'm very happy to still be coming to y'all out here from the farm. Our phone number is 928-285-2239. We love hearing from y'all, so give us a call. Come on down. Let me put a little south in your mouth, honey.
For pure down-home deliciousness, there's just one place to go. Head north out of Yuma on 95 to the Dirty South Barbecue House, where our racks and butts will drive you nuts, and everybody cleans their plate. New summer hours open Wednesday through Sunday for lunch, dinner, and snacks.
Finally, some good news. The U.S. economy added 2.5 million jobs in May, the biggest monthly job increase ever. Our recovery has begun. Thanks to quick action from Congress and Senator Martha McSally, jobs are coming back. Senator McSally helped pass vital aid for small businesses, giving them the resources they need to save jobs, meet payrolls, and get our economy back on track. Now, Senator Martha McSally's getting tough on China. She's fighting to end our dangerous reliance on China for prescription drugs and medical supplies. McSally's bill, S-3432, will get them made here again and bring jobs back home. Call Senator Martha McSally at 602-952-2410 and tell her to keep working to pass S-3432. Keep fighting to get more drugs and medical supplies made in the USA. Tell Senator McSally, don't let up on China. Bring back American jobs. Paid for by One Nation, OneNationAmerica.org.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Sunny and 101, the high today, 73, the overnight low for tonight, light breeze. Sunny and 102 tomorrow, 72 tomorrow night, 103 and sunny on Friday, 73 on Friday night.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
We are back on Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU. In studio, we have Paul Brierley, Executive Director at the Center of Excellence for Desert Agriculture at the U of A. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And we've got Howard Blitz, founder and director of the Freedom Library. Both men are on the Chamber of Commerce's board of directors and real active members in our Legislative Affairs Committee. Howard, we go way back to the Prospector magazine, way back.
Now you're really talking history. Holy cow.
But no, seriously, we had a column every week in Prospector.
Yeah.
Then at the time, you were able to read your column on KBLU years and years and years ago. But again, some of the things that were happening back then, okay, we couldn't predict what's happening today. And there was one of the executive directors of a hospital in the West Valley said, we're all first-timers at COVID-19. There's no playbook. Most of us are just guessing. We can take some guidance, but personal responsibility is just out the window for some reason. I just can't figure that out. But it's hard to get your arms around because if I don't wear a mask, that means I'm horrible, inconsiderate, a variety of things. And if I do, I've capitulated. So either way, just stay home.
that's what we're being told, though. Okay? I mean, when you look at the numbers... Okay, we had, 51 deaths so far?
53.
53 deaths in Yuma County, and there's... What's the population of Yuma County?
200,000.
So if you divide 53 by 200,000, What is that? I figured it out before. It's like 0.002%.
No, 0.0002. I did it this morning.
Okay, so it's so it's 0.0002%. I don't know. That's not a pandemic to me. Pandemic would be like maybe 10% of the population dying. Okay? We need to address this thing on an individual level. I mean, it's not that the disease doesn't exist. The virus does exist. And we've got some people that have compromised immune systems, my daughter being one of them. And so, yeah, she needs to take particular care. And so does everybody else. But, gee, Merry Christmas, to start telling people they got to wear masks, you have to do this, you have to do that. Well, you don't have to. Okay, but they feel like they're so intimidated that they have to. And why are they intimidated? Because the media and the government are both doing that. They're instilling fear in us. You know, it's absolutely amazing to me how much fear we can be instilled with to get us to do stuff. We're not thinking about this rationally and logically, as far as I'm concerned.
I made a comment, and I had the state of the media and social media been around during the AIDS epidemic, we've been jumping out of buildings. I mean, think about the power of the media and the power of social media today, and you roll the clock back to how we were really fearful during the AIDS epidemic. The media would have multiplied that times a factor of 1,000. It would have been horrible. We would have stopped procreating, I think.
I mean, Paul brought up a very good point in the last segment here, that the marketplace would be able to deal with this if government would just get out of the way. Government officials need to stay out of other people's business. And that's a shame that we, the people, go to them. I mean, the first reaction was, what's the governor going to do about this? What's the president going to do? What's the mayor going to do? What are these government officials going to do about it? We shouldn't be looking to them for solutions. We should be looking to ourselves. Looking to the marketplace. You know, Paul brought up a great example of how free enterprise developed the meth. And somebody had the idea to develop the meth, then they developed the meth, and within a week, we had what we needed.
A solution.
You know, and so why are we looking to government officials to pass laws and pass legislation to address this issue? If we've got an issue, people are going to deal with it. And the marketplace is a marvelous, miraculous institution that gets things done for us. But we got to believe in it. We don't believe in ourselves anymore. We have lost this independence sense about ourselves. You know, our ancestors had this independence. They didn't want government. I mean, they would be abhorred to them. They really would. They wouldn't be able to figure us out. They really wouldn't.
Well, my parents and my wife's parents all passed within a few years of each other 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I could not explain America to my dad. He would blame me. What? It's been 20 years. I mean, when I left, it was kind of okay. What'd you do? He would have expressly blamed me, which is what dads do. But I think what we need to do to kind of reclaim and kind of just balance things back out, go back to commerce, go back to businesses.
Mm-hmm.
What are the solutions? I think it's best when we sit people down at the table like we do with all of our committees. Mm-hmm. What's best? Can we communicate that back to our legislators? And it takes a long time. You have to be patient. One of my downfalls is that I go 1-2-10. But you have to be patient and let the process work out. And we've won some battles, but at least we're in there in the arena. And I think that's the important part. This new CARES Act, I don't know if I mentioned it before, this new CARES Act, it doesn't work for business. And we just can't let that pass. It extends unemployment back to all the way to January, and there's more fluff in this new CARES Act, another couple $1 trillion, that doesn't do anything to help business and help society get back on its feet. It's just got all this other stuff we really don't need. Let's get business back to business, and they'll figure it out themselves. We have many, many, many chamber members who pivoted to create new businesses during this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
They made smart business moves, no-touch bathrooms, all kinds of things, because they knew it was the right thing to do for their customers. Not that the government told me to do it. Yeah. It's a smart thing to do for my clients. Right. And that was, for me, that was the key to watch those things evolve, you know, mm-hmm. back to your point.
Sure.
The other committees we have at the Chamber, the Transportation Committee, my very first Transportation Committee, 2014, I'm not quite sure why we're here, but let's get, the first guy that talks is Gene Dalby. He's talking about bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting back going, wait, this is transportation. I'm literally scratching my head, okay, because I don't know why this gentleman is at the, but he really taught me as far as quality of life initiatives, the economic benefit of being a bicycle-friendly town, some of the things that happen as a result. I mean, I'm now a believer.
Well, bike is a mode of transportation.
Exactly. But I'm a Neanderthal.
So is walking. So is walking.
So is walking. But I think we've done a good job as far as getting funding. Highway 95 is huge on my list of things to do. We're also talking port of entry issues.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that the wait in Calexico is 20 minutes, yet San Luis is 4 hours?
Really?
Yeah. How does that happen? So again, back to government oversight, you have trucks being inspected by U.S. Ag, Arizona Ag, U.S. Transportation, Arizona Transportation. You have all these layers, and time is money to these truckers. And I have produce, I have product.
Yeah.
So if they're going to go an hour out of their way to Calexico and come through there and pick up 3 hours, because I'm now, time is money. Get out of the way. And we fight it and fight it and fight it. We kind of get there, then we coil back. But it's a huge issue, and we are talking to our senators, we are talking to our congresspersons, and talking to people, because this is important for commerce through the state of Arizona. It's a big issue.
I guess the question is, why do these elected officials feel like they need to control all this stuff? I guess that's my question. Why is it that elected officials feel the need to control individuals? Why don't they believe in freedom and individual liberty? You know, I don't get it.
Paul, you've gone through several classes, Project Central, Flynn. Why is that? You might have a better perspective because you've been in the arena at the state level, the federal level. Why is that? It's a great question.
I think where it stems from, I wouldn't say that any of them explicitly think they're trying to control people.
Yeah.
I think where it stems from is they're trying to solve problems.
Yeah.
They've got to get elected, right? So they got to say, I impacted this problem. So I think generally it comes from a good place in the heart. They want to solve a problem. They want to be able to say they solved the problem. What it turns into is a regulation that's a one-size-fits-all and doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah.
I think where you really need to get the solutions from is small business people. I mean, that's I've been one, and that was one of the best times of my life, because your name's on the shingle. It's that's where the rubber meets the road, and you got to provide a good service. Your name's behind it, and you got to get paid for it. And so those people know what the issues are. They know that the port at San Luis is slowing them down, so they go over to Calexico. You know, I mean, we hear these issues from them, and they're the people. That's why the chamber's so powerful, I think, in the legislative arena, which, again, a lot of people don't realize, is because our members are the ones who feel this stuff, and it's life or death, or at least for their business.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's also life or death for the employees of the business. It's life or death financially for the employer, you know, the entrepreneur himself. But maybe it's because we've never been taught, we the people have never been taught what our relationship is supposed to be with the government. It just seems to me like we have been taught, okay, the government provides for you. It provides housing and transportation and health care, yada, 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 yada. And so therefore, that's who we need to go to get answers. And it needs to be taught the other way around.
So it's almost like we're conditioned for that.
Yeah, and that's why the Freedom Library was set up. To help kids and to help everybody understand what their relationship is supposed to be with the government and what their responsibilities are as a free person. You know, in the history books, when I was studying all this way back, when America was first created, when they first created this free society, the rest of the world literally laughed at it. They said, this isn't going to work. It's going to fall flat on its face. You cannot self-govern yourself. You have nobody has the ability to self-govern themselves. Yet, look what happened. Because of self-government, because people were left alone, we had the greatest economic explosion the world's ever seen. And why we can't continue that, I don't know. But because what's happening now is we're suffocating it.
We're not trying hard enough. Let's talk about that more after the break.
Yeah.
You're listening to Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBOU.
Nationwide Vision, we've been safely taking care of all of your eye care needs for 35 years, and we're excited to be able to do it again. Select offices are now open. For more information, visit nationwidevision.com or call 1-800-EYE-CARE.
Hey, this is Lisa Stofan. Heard the Mark Patrick weight loss hypnosis hype? Well, I attended because my father stopped smoking with hypnosis. Hypnosis eliminated my desire for soda and fast food, made me want to exercise, and I lost 60 pounds in 6 months. My energy level exploded. I went to another session to deal with some other problem foods, and I lost another 10 pounds. In fact, I brought my husband. He lost weight. More important, cholesterol and blood pressure improved. My friend went, and she lost 20 pounds in the first 2 months. So does Mark Patrick hypnosis work? Oh, yeah, it works. Nothing has changed my life more. Well, except maybe my husband. He's so proud of me. Makes me cry.
That's a great story, and a story like that is ready to happen for you. Because of the coronavirus, the seminar now online live with America's hypnotist Mark Patrick in the comfort and safety of your living room. Live online seminar for the greater Yuma, Arizona area will be held live Saturday, June 27th. Register now, only $49.99 guaranteed at markpatrickseminars.com.
Let's talk. I know you want or need a new car. I also understand putting that first payment off for 3 months makes the decision easy. How about I throw in up to $4,000 off MSRP or 0% financing for 6 years? I will even tell you to put no money down. I'm not finished. How do you like 3 years of free oil changes? And let's add in America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles. Your answer is yes to all of it. And all of it is available because Hyundai of Yuma says, yes, we can. On any new 2020 Hyundai Tucson or 2020 Hyundai Santa Fe, this summer sale absolutely ends June 30th. So come down to Hyundai of Yuma, where we are Yuma strong and open to serve or shop online 24/7 at HyundaiofYuma.com. A proud veteran-owned company. Plus tax, title, license, doc fees, 0% financing offer on approved credit through MFP in lieu of $4,000 off. 90-day deferred payment plan on select new Hyundais. See dealer for details.
Grown-ups devise a plan and follow it. Children do what feels good. Take responsibility for your family's future and get your estate in order. Call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen, attorneys at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a consultation today. Visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Good morning, Yuma. You're listening to Chamber Chatter, 568 KBLU. In studio, a couple of members of the board of directors of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. Paul Breyer, the executive director at the Center of Excellence for Desert Agriculture at the U of A. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And Howard Blitz, founder and director of the Freedom Library here in Yuma. Good morning, Howard.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
This is great. This is the kind of spirit of conversation, as Paul alluded to, the chamber gets involved in these issues behind the scenes. We had a chamber member just cancel the membership. We're canceling a membership because you're not doing any Good Morning Yumas or you're not doing any mixers. Because again, that's what they see the chamber as and don't understand really the hard work that's being
done. So maybe we should go back to doing that.
but see,
I'd be in favor of that.
But see, what we're talking about this morning are the things that it's hard to market these things that we're doing. It's hard to tell people because, again, it doesn't affect them directly. But when you look at our Military Affairs Committee, my very first military affairs committee meeting, here's 45 or 50 people of every alphabet soup organization from AMVET to you name it. Their whole mission is to help veterans either get re-educated, get housing, help veterans just have a better quality of life. And the enthusiasm with this group is just amazing. And there are other businesses involved in the Military Affairs Committee. The Veterans Business Bureau is active in that. GYDC Yuma 50 is active with that group. Some of the hotels, because again, they can't provide housing. It's amazing what this organization is doing, this committee of the chamber. Proud to be part of that and proud to watch what they're doing for our men and women every single day. It's amazing.
You haven't talked about water.
You
play a big role in water.
That's
who needs water?
And one of the things, too, I think, one of the things that as the executive director of the chamber, I don't think I really got there and I wished I had, was really embracing all of our ag partners and really advocating for more issues with ag, but water is the tip of the iceberg. I went to the water hearings in Casa Grande. I went to the water hearings in Buckeye. We filled up the chamber, the council chambers, for the last water hearing. Wall-to-wall packed people. What people don't understand, and what Phoenix doesn't understand, water is a commodity farmers have to pay for. Hello? They want to use less. Then we have compacts with Mexico. They're not wasting the water. And it's hard to really get that across to people in Phoenix because they think that they want that water to build houses and develop, et cetera, et cetera. And let's redevelop it. One letter was, let's put the water on rail cars intended for Yuma and bring it back to Phoenix so we can build houses. I'm not making this up. There was a letter to the editor in the Prescott Courier. We need a pipeline up and over the mountain so we can redirect the water heading for Yuma so we can build more houses in Prescott. And I'm thinking, you don't understand the issues at all. But we're proud to have folks in Yuma, water experts. Wade Noble, one of the brightest guys I've ever met, really understands water compacts, understands water rights and the like. And he is world famous for what he knows, and I'm glad he's in Yuma.
You need people stepping up like that because, like you say, the typical person says, oh, Yuma's just a desert town on the border, wasting water out there in the desert. What they don't realize is this is the most productive. It's the most efficient way to do it. You've got full control of your inputs. You've got perfect weather.
Yep.
You can reliably grow a perfect crop.
Yep.
This is the place to do it.
Yeah, it really is.
When you look at, and this was great quote ever, okay, so Yuma County's agriculture is worth $3.5 billion.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell people, the U of A, okay, did a study called location quotient. I call it industry quotient because I can say IQ, but location quotient said, how important are cars to Detroit? How important is agriculture to Yuma County? How important is technology to Silicon Valley? They had 25 parameters across the country. Our location quotient in Yuma, ag to Yuma County is a 25. Wine to the Napa Valley is a 13. So ag in Yuma County is twice as important as wine is to the Napa Valley. That gets a wow because people understand wine. But I've never seen $3.5 billion. But again, that really solidifies how important ag is to this community. A 25 location quotient is one in four jobs are dependent upon ag. And it's no water, no ag, no Yuma.
So when I go to places in the United States and we're having a salad and I said, the lettuce you're eating is grown in Yuma. I said, really? I had no idea.
Our country depends on us.
It really does. And again, some of those issues, when you look at water, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Again, there's lots and lots and lots of regulation in the ag world, too. And we fight those issues all the time. We had an ag summit when Governor Ducey came down for State of the State. This was probably 3 years ago. They're talking about the form. So if I put insecticide or pesticide out there, on the form, I have to put down wind, speed, and direction. With technology today, some of that stuff's putting in the ground. It's in the ground, so it's not airborne. So some farmers just leave it blank. So there's compliance officers will come by and say, look, Paul, look, I know it's in the ground. Just put one in one, okay, so I don't have to come back, please. So you do that.
That's like we start using drones. You know, we use technology. We're using drones in agriculture. Mm-hmm. And yet the FAA, a lot of the permits and things you have to do, talk about your seatbelts and your this and that.
Yeah, I know.
It's not updated.
You know, you made a point, John, about how all the legislation that has to be fought, okay, the amount of time that the chamber puts in to fighting legislation. You know, there was a time in this country where people weren't sure that the legislative body was going to meet. So they put it in here, put it in the document. You will meet one time a year.
Right, one time.
Now, this is how far we've come from the concern that they were even going to meet to now the concern, holy cow, they're over meeting. I mean, it's like, are they ever going to quit? I mean, this is how it's changed, and this is why we have lost all these freedoms and independence that we've lost. We've allowed it. You know, we're kind of at fault because really the elected officials are nothing but a projection of all of us. And if we don't step up and, you know, raise our hand, if you will, then yeah, it'll just continue
exactly.
to go. So,
and the debate rages. Should there be term limits in Congress or not? And I know that Russ and I have had this conversation. You know, term limits are automatic. You vote them out. But we get lazy. As voters, we get lazy. We do. When I was at the newspaper, Terry Ross and I had this conversation. You can track newspaper readership with voter... You can just track it. Okay, voter participation, newspaper readership have tracked, because those people were taking the paper back in the day, engaged. They know the local community. They're reading stuff. But it's a peril, and Terry Ross, you're exactly right. And Terry is a bright guy, bright, bright guy. He was the first guy I worked for in the business after 41 years, said, advertising is local content. Because you fight editors all the time for that content. But no, advertising is just as important local content as the stories are. But it's getting back to being engaged, getting educated, mm-hmm. get the facts, learn this stuff. Mm-hmm. Don't learn on Facebook. Please stop doing that. Because you're not going to get facts, and you're not going to find out what your local elected officials are. And they're elected officials. They're not leaders. We sometimes call them leaders, but they work for us, okay? They're elected officials.
Yeah.
We have to kind of turn the page a little bit and get involved.
And I mentioned the access to... I really believe we have access to our government. We just don't take advantage of it. And they do listen. And they don't know everything. I think that's the other thing. Our just people think because they're a legislator, they know everything. Well, they don't. They're there to listen. And a good legislator listens and learns the issues and then carries that forward. And I do think they want to listen and they want to hear from us. We got to take that opportunity, and that's what the chamber does.
And I find the more local you can keep that discussion, the more they do respect you, they do listen, like you said, Paul. The further you get government away from the people, it's kind of hard to get that ear. It's really kind of hard.
And... more trust issues as a result, the farther you get away from the face-to-face conversations.
Yeah.
That's why Facebook trolls will bash federal officials. You're never going to bump into them at Fry's.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna trash any of our city council persons.
No.
I don't have to face them at Fry's.
Well, that's the point.
Right.
It's better to keep it local because now you've developed a relationship. You can develop a relationship.
We've developed a process at the chamber. Mm-hmm. Once a quarter, the mm-hmm. executive committee mm-hmm. meets with the mayor, the city administrator, and assistant city administrator.
Mm-hmm.
And we give them a laundry list.
Good.
Here's where it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's talk about issues. We do it over a meal.
Good.
We break bread. We agree to disagree. We win some, we lose some. But that's okay. We're at the table. We're
mm-hmm.
talking about the
mm-hmm.
issues.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes maybe there's issues, some facts we don't know. Maybe there's something missing in our pitch. Or something that they have a blind spot to that they didn't realize. But we're having real robust discussions. And to me, that's what it's all about, is being able to really discuss this stuff. And again, you win some, you lose some, but at least you're in the arena. That's the important part. We have a lot of things we're doing at the chamber other than that, too. Our ambassador committee, We've got the best group of volunteers. There's pent-up desire for these people to hug each other and help people. we just have to do that correctly.
A phenomenal group.
I am blessed. The chamber is blessed. Our community is blessed with these volunteers that care deeply about business, care deeply about each other, and they're really sensitive to the image of the chamber. We're going to put our best foot forward to help businesses every way possible. Mm-hmm. So it's a shout-out to all of our ambassadors. Again, we love you. We miss you as well. We're going to talk about some other stuff after the break, Paul, if that's okay. You're listening to Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU.
At Nationwide Vision, for a limited time, get 50% off a complete pair of eyeglasses. That's great style at 50% off. Taking care of Arizona's eyes for 35 years. Nationwide Vision.
Big Curve Fitness Center wants to kick the COVID with fitness. Head over to 560 KBLU's Facebook page, like and comment on the Big Curve Fitness post, and you'll be entered to win a free one-week membership to Big Curve Fitness Center. Winners will be picked at random from all entries. Some restrictions do apply. Find the Big Curve Fitness Center post on the KBLU Facebook page, like and comment to win a one-week membership at Big Curve Fitness Center. Good luck from 560 KBLU.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center, and when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals. You can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Hey everyone, I'm Dominique Newland, and your latest headlines, hundreds of firefighters are battling flames in Arizona. The Bighorn Fire has consumed more than 14,000 acres, and the fire started on June 5th after a thunderstorm helped ignite the flames. Firefighters are making some progress, though. Bighorn is now 30% contained, though three people have suffered minor heat-related illnesses. And many of us are depending on hand sanitizer to protect against the coronavirus, but a new study suggests most people are coming up short. Researchers from the Centers for Disease Control found rubbing in hand sanitizer for exactly 30 seconds kills COVID-19, but anything less can leave traces of active virus, leaving you vulnerable to infection. As always, for these stories and more, you can head over to our website at kyma.com, as well as download our News 11 app.
We are back on Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KVLU in studio. Paul Brierley, Executive Director at the Center of Excellence for Desert Agriculture at U of A. Hello, Paul.
Good morning.
And Howard had to leave at 9 o'clock. Great. I love Howard's viewpoint on things. It really is refreshing. Let's peel back all the white noise, peel back all the stuff. What's government's true role in our lives, and what are our responsibilities?
I think, you know, the Libertarian Party, I think, is great. They aren't viable as far as servicing candidates and that kind of thing, but I think all of us, if we're Americans, have a lot of that in our hearts of the liberty, you know. And so I really value what Howard brings with the Freedom Caucus, Freedom Library.
It's really thought-provoking. Okay, what is government's true role in our lives, and what responsibilities do I have for my life, my business, my family, my community, my state, my country?
Yep, yeah, it really gets back to the basics of why was this country founded, what's it founded on, and it good things to know and think about.
And I think I'm going to give Russ the microphone. I know it's kind of a dangerous thing to do, but did we get lazy? Did we get lazy? Did we take the path of least resistance and we'll let government handle it? I mean, where did this start? How did this happen to where we stopped taking responsibility for our own destiny?
Because we coddled our kids, John, and it's our kids now that are 30. Our kids are now older. They all got trophies when they were in 9th, 10th place. They got participation trophies. And they were used to being taken care of, and I think that's a big influence right now in the corners.
So it's Dad's fault.
It always is.
but you're not wrong. Again, getting lazy.
Look, when you grew up different than your kids grew up.
Oh, heck yeah.
Okay. So I think that's part of it.
You know, one other part of it, we've talked a lot about small business, and I don't mean to put down big business, but when this country was founded with small business, again, your name's on the shingle. You have to be accountable. You got to make things work. When you're just in a cog in the wheel at a big company, you know, you don't have as much responsibility, accountability, and I think you don't get as engaged. And I don't know. In a lot of ways, I think our small business people are the cornerstone of the country, and we've gotten so big that very few people are doing that and experiencing that.
Yeah, the camera's just on Paul Inga.
Okay, that's okay.
That's okay.
Paul makes a really good example. When I was at the LA Times, okay, I didn't have to worry about stuff. My focus was narrow. Here's my deal. When I have my own publication in Huntington Beach, now suddenly these things are important because they affect every part of what I was thinking, right, doing, saying, acting. So small business is closer to the issues.
But Paul's right. Paul, that small business takes personal responsibility much more seriously than I'll just quit my job and go somewhere else if it doesn't work out.
Right.
Or if I get a bad review, I may not get a raise.
You know, yeah.
But that's the consequence. But when it's your own business, you got to make it work.
Well, and when you work for a big business, you say, well, I just work around stupid people is why we're not very successful. And then you realize when you own your own that, you know, you still have that guy.
Maybe it's the boss. Maybe it's me. We've seen the problem.
Yeah,
it's
still here.
Let's get it fixed. I do want to get a message out there, too, for the folks. Howard Blitz wanted to make sure that everyone knows that the CAB bureaus, along with the chamber, we do a flag-raising ceremony on Independence Day. And that this year it's going to be at the CAB Bureau Park. We can't social distance correctly at the Armed Forces Park, so the flag raising is back to where it was for 25 some odd years, back at CAB Bureau Park. That's 4th of July, Independence Day, Saturday. The flag raising, we gather at 7:30. The actual flag raising is right around 8. The chamber gives many military awards to YPG and MCA Ashuma. Then at 9 o'clock at the Freedom Library, a reading of the Declaration of Independence, a dramatic reading of the Declaration of Independence. And
Was that Mike Shelton?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did I know that?
But it is really cool. People need to rehear those words.
I think he does a dramatic reading of the phone book sometimes. It's very interesting.
And he probably has a phone book. Some of us don't. Mike might have one. But I think, to Howard's credit, rereading the Declaration of Independence, how this country is founded, why we're here, right, is important to relearn every single year. It's important.
That would help in today's, too. I don't think we understand those fundamentals once you get to a certain age below. That's not impactful.
And that's one of the beautiful things Howard does in the Freedom Library. Here's the Bill of Rights, what these are, and here's the amendments to the Constitution. You need to understand the difference between the two and why.
Well, they're the same. Bill of Rights is
the Bill of Rights?
First Ten Amendments.
The first what?
Ten Amendments are the Bill of Rights.
Right, okay.
And then there was additional amendments.
Right, so there is a difference. And we need to understand the difference between those two and what they mean and how they affect our lives. And again, most of those were like, government stay away, government stay away.
That's all it is.
Government stay away.
It's limiting government, not people. It limits government.
Right.
And somehow our government forgot that. And I like some of the stuff I've read recently about the angst and the problems in our society isn't Republicans, Democrats, political. It's Washington versus everyone else. That it's really more like that. That it is power struggles between Washington in the States.
I hadn't thought of it that way.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good point. I think back to when I was a teenager and dating myself, I guess, but Ronald Reagan was talking about doing away with the...
That's not even old anymore.
He was talking about doing away with the Federal Department of Education. And,
yeah.
And I thought, my initial thought was, why would you do that? Those are the experts. Those are the people that know what they're doing.
Yeah. Who's going to tell us what to do?
Later in life, I came to realize they don't know what's going on, just like our local school people do. And they're not the place of all knowledge.
No.
You know, I have guests scheduled for next week, but maybe after that we can have maybe Tom Tyree come in with Gina Thompson to talk about, you know, government's role in education, funding education. At the chamber, I really learned to dig in. The process of funding education is broken.
Oh.
The process. Okay, so in 53% of the state's expense is education.
I know.
So it's not a cash problem. It's an allocation problem. Cheryl Hehe is a criminal. When she went to school there, there were three people in the office. Now there's, I think, 12.
Yeah.
To just push paper.
But it's required.
But
in order to get the grants.
Strip it down. Mm-hmm. How can we really streamline the process?
Well, they did that already. They call it charter school.
Of the funding. Bad word, but okay.
Well, I mean, and that's a fact. I mean, it's an unfair advantage the charter schools have. They don't have the same strict requirements of, you know, we're gonna work in all these little boxes. They just give in money and say, do your best, let's know how it goes.
Right.
It's simplification.
The problem with charter schools, they can pick and choose kids that they take. So, again, we need to say it again?
To a degree. Yeah.
But, again, let's look at, again, government intervention.
Yeah.
And I'm
all for leveling the playing field. Tell the public schools work like charter schools.
I know two schools, mm-hmm, for tennis that turned down the money because processing the paperwork cost more than the cash itself.
Well, right, and so, it wasn't going to accomplish the goals they were looking for.
Yeah, education would be a whole other show. I know when we educated our kids, we did public school, we did charter school, we did public school at home,
right.
And there are all sorts of options. And yeah, a lot of that that's learned should be adopted by the public system.
Oh, and we have great people in the public school system, but we tie their hands.
So before we run out of time, I wanted to make sure, and this is maybe a sad note, but for those of you that don't know, John Curtis is going to be retiring soon. And
where's my applause?
Mark, get him out of here.
No.
There will be some. This guy is leaving. Now I can join the chamber.
No, we're in the middle of a search to replace him. John's done an amazing job. I want to give kudos to him.
Thank you.
You know, it's something we hope would never happen that we actually had to replace him, but we do. He's got a well-deserved retirement coming up in Prescott. So, while we're on the show, I wanted to, you know, we talked about all that the chamber does on the legislative side, and while we're looking for a good replacement, I thought, John, this might be a good time to get out there to people who might think about it. What is the job? What do you do behind
the
scenes?
Make it quick. You're about out of time.
Oh, my heavens. So when I was at the newspaper, I knew a lot about a little. In this job, you need to know a little about a lot. You need to understand education issues, military issues, transportation issues, legislative affairs. You need to understand those things and be apolitical. Our board of directors, we've got conservatives, we've got liberals, we've got Republicans, Democrats, we have libertarians. So politically, my favorite color is plaid, and you have to learn that you know, through trial and error sometimes. But the job really is taking care of business. And you have to love this community. You have to sell this community.
15 seconds.
You have to really let folks know that Yuma is a great place to live, work, play, raise a family, and run a profitable business. I've got the best job in Yuma. I'm going to miss it. Anyway, with that, we're out of time. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great Wednesday. Bye for now.
If you're interested in a career in media sales, El Dorado Broadcasters has an opportunity for you. A media sales representative designs multimedia market solutions for their clients, including radio advertising, digital solutions, event sponsorships, and more. If you have experience in outside sales and calling on many different accounts, then you already have a great start into the business. Every business has to advertise. If you have media sales experience, that's even better. This is not a commission-only sales position. We'll give you a salary, train you, and you'll make commissions on your very first sale. If you like what you hear, call 928-344-4980. That's 928-344-4980. Successful media sellers make an excellent living, and with hard work, it won't take long for you to get there. Ready to join the world of media sales? Send your resume to hiremenow@edbroadcasters.com. That's hiremenow@edbroadcasters.com. El Dorado Broadcasters is an equal opportunity employer.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals? From the one-hour air conditioning and heating studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.